in on Canuck Central. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here on a Wednesday. Good NHL sked ongoing. Sidney Crosby to 1,600 points is the fifth fastest player to 1,600.
Is that pretty good?
I would say that's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
It's like fifth fastest. Like, how many players have made it to 1,600 points?
I know. It's pretty crazy.
What kind of a stat is this?
It's pretty impressive.
I can't even say off the top of my head. Obviously, like, Gretz.
Hold on. I'm bringing it up.
Yeah.
We'll do the whole thing where we got to figure out who it is.
Yeah. Obviously, Gretz. 1,600 points.
Okay. So there are...
Mario.
Sidney Crosby is the 10th player to join that list.
Okay.
So you got Gretzky.
Yeah.
You got Lemieux.
Yeah.
Messier.
Yeah.
Gordie Howe.
Yeah.
Ron Francis and Marcel Dion.
Yeah. You're missing three. You're missing number two on the list. Longevity is...
Oh, Jaromir Jagr.
Yeah.
Yammy.
And then... a couple guys who are GMs currently in the NHL.
Steve Yzerman.
And
Sakic.
Why
is Sakic technically president?
Ah, yes.
But yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
That's the list.
That's the list. Pretty
Man.
Good list.
Crosby was fifth fastest. It's a pretty good list, I would say, yeah. Gret still has more assists than any other player has points. It's crazy. maybe the wildest stat in all of hockey history, and all sports history, really. All right, it's an overrated, underrated Wednesday. Let's get to it. Overrated, underrated. Sometimes, on the off chance, things are perfectly rated. You give us a topic like cottage cheese, and we decide if it's overrated, underrated, or perfectly
way overrated.
Rated.
Well, speaking of...
Oh, incredibly underrated.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I haven't had cottage cheese in a while, but anytime I have had like cottage cheese with something, I've always been like, you know, this is good. Why don't I do cottage cheese?
Incredibly high in protein, low fat.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Great. Cottage cheese on toast? Whew.
Not for me.
No?
Not for me. Maybe I feel like cottage cheese is something you kind of adopt as you get older. You know what I mean? Like blue cheese. Almost.
I don't know. It's like a lot of things that I eat nowadays. I saw the trend on TikTok.
Yeah, you and
like
your
all
TikTok
the all
trends.
The fitness freaks are putting like
are
they're
so
they're blending
influenced?
Their cottage cheese and putting it into stuff, and it's just like
he's doing the cucumber, and he's apparently into like Wakanda Forever too.
What do you mean? The ashwagandha?
Ashwagandha. I call it Wakanda Forever.
I was trying to figure out what you meant. I was like, I'm going to move on.
There's ashwagandha commercials on the station.
Yeah,
there is.
It's great. It helps lower anxiety and stress.
Yeah.
All right.
Underrated ashwagandha from my brief trial.
Okay.
So, how long have you used it now?
It's about a month.
But you said you're not sleeping well?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Is there any correlation or no? Because I have problems with sleeping myself.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a correlation with that.
Just wondering,
I actually ran out of my ashwagandha, so maybe it's
maybe that's why you're not
I've stopped
well.
Using it now.
Yes.
I've got to get a refill on
I
my
I know a specific
my
type
ashwagandha.
Of magnesium is good for you and also helps you sleep.
Oh, really?
Take it before bed.
Magnesium knocks you the hell out, man.
Magnesium.
You I've put heard... that a little bit in like a cup of chamomile at night and you're asleep in 10 minutes.
So when you guys get this stuff like magnesium, do you get it from like health... food stores.
You buy it at like Walmart or anything.
Yeah. Sometimes Amazon if I'm feeling risky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but should prefer, we trust those things?
It's been working.
Prefer it in pill form versus powder.
Yeah. Powder's gross.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on. Jay Hammy losing Ian Cole. Overrated or underrated?
Okay. I like Ian Cole, and I thought Ian Cole, despite how people reacted to his playoff performance, in the totality, we were on the same page with this. Like, Ian Cole was a big part of the reason why the Canucks had as much success last season as they did.
Yeah, he was excellent defensively. He was, to me, their unsung hero for much of the season. And it's funny, because I called him the unsung hero, then he fell off a cliff. What was it, game 71, where he just started struggling?
Why is this guy scoring in our net all the time?
Yeah. He started struggling, and then in the playoffs, every puck was going off of him and in. And he had a rough finish. I think we all agree he had a rough finish. But
was injured as well.
Yes, but for over 70 games, like, he was legitimately good defensively. He was their number four defenseman in terms of ice time, like number three defenseman at times in terms of ice time. He was legitimately good in every defensive shutdown spot he was put in. Mm-hmm. His exit, zone exits were solid. Like, you know, nothing amazing, but well above average.
Yeah.
So he did a lot of things really, really well for this team, and it went unsung for much of the season. Derek Forbort does not have the same level of puck movement. I don't think you can play Derek Forbort 20 minutes a game as much as you could Ian Cole. Like, he was averaging 20 minutes a game for like a large part of the season. Then they kind of went back a little bit towards the end. You can't do that with Forbort.
Yeah.
But I'm not... I do think in relation to Forbort, it's overrated.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think he was an underrated player for the Canucks.
Yes. That's a good way of putting it. And I heard the crossover today, and Rick Dhaliwal was mentioning how the Canucks had offered Ian Cole about $1.5 million at some point, like just after the playoffs ended for the Vancouver Canucks. And he said he wants the same. He ended up getting exactly what he was making with the Canucks. Actually, a little bit of a raise for what Utah gave him. And the Canucks signed a player for $1.5 million. So they earmarked $1.5 million for that spot in the roster. They would have loved to have Ian Cole back, but ultimately wasn't enough money to get it done.
This one from Mike. Moving Jake DeBrusque to JT Miller's wing. Overrated or underrated?
Overrated. I know, like, we might see some more tinkering going into tomorrow's game. We did briefly see Pettersson playing with Höglander and Garland last night. And to a certain extent, why not? Garland's been their best forward so far this season. But I continue to see flashes of how it could work with DeBrusque and Pettersson. DeBrusque set up Pettersson for two grade A chances yesterday. He whiffed on one, put another over the net. I think it'll come for Jake DeBrusque. So this is... they need to continue working at it rather than move away from Elias Pettersson just yet.
You know what? I think from everything we saw in the game, and with DeBrusque setting Pettersson up for a couple of chances, Heinen had a couple, like, they had a few moments that I want to explore this a bit more.
Yeah.
But I do think that's an underrated trio. Like, to me, like, as soon as they signed DeBrusque and we talked about this, I'm like, man, DeBrusque with Miller and Besser would look really good.
It could really work.
Yeah.
It could, you know, and I get it. Like, people didn't love seeing Arshdeep Bains in that spot on the top line yesterday. Like I said on the show yesterday and in pregame, like, if you're going to give Bains a shot, like, give him a big shot, you know, like, let him really try to cook. And it didn't end up working out. He had a couple of chances, but I don't know. I think at some point we do see DeBrusque with Miller and Besser. I just don't know if I'm ready yet.
What about Höglander and Garland in the top six? Overrated or underrated?
So
they've been the best players through three games.
I mean, how forwards. Do we define top six? Because Garland has easily played top 6 minutes.
I would say playing with one of Miller or Pettersson. Like, having a center that's a top six center.
So I haven't loved it in the past, but it's not like Pettersson is driving play with the way that he's going right now. So why not try to get, you know, whatever's working, the juice that Garland currently has, maybe that can transfer over to Elias Pettersson, right? Hitting is contagious in baseball. So why can't offense be contagious in hockey? I don't know. I'm willing to try anything to help that on. I don't know if Höglander and Garland is the answer. Maybe I'd go DeBrusque and Garland. With Elias Pettersson, but I'd definitely be open to seeing Garland a little further up the lineup with the way that he's currently playing.
I still wonder stylistically if that's like a long-term fit.
Yeah.
But it's not like Garland's playing on the best line in hockey right now, and not to say that Garland, Bluger, and Joshua was the best line in hockey, but it was maybe the best third line in the regular season last year. Like,
yeah.
It was so good that you couldn't go away from it.
Exactly. Like, they were so good that I didn't want to break it up. Like, why break it up? You don't have that right now. As good as Garland and Höglander have been together, whether that's with Suter, Bluger, or Ratu, who has now been sent down, playing down the middle, I think you can go away from it. And Garland is playing so well that I wanted to play a lot of minutes. And last night, him and Pedersen had almost the exact same amount of ice time.
Yeah.
Like, I think 1 second more for Garland. Like, they both played over 18 minutes. And JT was the guy who played the most last night. And so I'm all for running the hot hand, and I don't mind seeing that right now. And Pedersen's not going. He has to be better, and I'm all for putting the hot guy with him.
Next one comes from Mother Knucker. Eric Brännström being the hockey god's mulligan for Gustav Forsling. Overrated or underrated?
You know what? I love the thought. It's a fantastic underrated submission with the way that you phrased the submission. It is quality on that end. I'm not going to lie. I never really expected Gustav Forsling to become anything until he showed up in Florida and started playing really well. Brännström, like when Brännström was with Ottawa, he was pegged as like the next Erik Karlsson. Like that's why he was the centerpiece of the deal for Mark Stone. And they didn't get a first round pick in that deal because Brännström was considered to be that big of a prospect that he was worth the first round pick and more because he was like an A-plus prospect. Guy who couldn't miss. But at some point, for as good as you are, and I guess maybe a younger version right now, Lane Hutson is gonna go through this as well. It's like you are incredible offensively and there is so much talent there, but at some point you have to learn how to defend to at least an average level for us to consider keeping you in the lineup. You have to understand when to use these skills and when to play it safe if we're going to give you regular minutes in an NHL lineup. And Brännström to this point hasn't really figured that out. So I'm going to say overrated.
Yeah, it's overrated. And because of the profile too, like Forsling, the profile of Forsling was different than Brännström. They had some offensive skills, obviously, yeah, that were similar, but Forsling was always known as a better defensive player. Brännström's never had that in his game. So I don't think they're similar player profiles either. Gustav Forsling also has a little bit of size to him. Brännström's, yeah, what, 5'10"?
Yeah. Not the biggest
5'11",
guy.
You know. Not small, but it's also not imposing.
He's not 6'7", or above 6'5", which is like a prerequisite to be a Canucks second or third pair defenseman.
Unless your last name starts with an H.
Yeah, like even Forsling is like 6'1", 200 pounds. Like he's not a small defenseman.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason he got the nickname the Brännström, I guess. But it's just never, like there's a reason he's popped around on a bunch of different teams. And to expect him to figure it out at this point,
yeah,
it's a big ask. You're going to have to shelter him.
Oh, we have people texting in. Brännström is a star on the wing. Put him on the wing. I mean, hey, I'm all for trying different things.
He probably
things.
Wouldn't know how to play defense on the wing either. You know, like that's
so
kind of the
Daniel
thing.
Daniel Sprong.
But but honestly, he's one of those guys that if he gets a game, I promise you, a lot of fans are going to watch him and be like, why is this guy not playing?
Yeah.
Because his skill set is so tantalizing. When you watch him, you're like, why is this guy not playing more?
Yeah.
He's going to be a real litmus test in terms of what he looks like.
The clips out of Abbotsford were like funny.
Yeah, he's like dummying guys. It's like Quinn Hughes playing in Michigan.
Yeah, it's like, what is happening over here? But we'll see. Rick Tocchet's not going to put up with a ton of that if it puts the Canucks in defensive duress.
No, and in fairness to Brännström, the last 2 years, he's played a full role in the NHL. Like, he's played 76 and 74 games. So it's not like we're talking about a guy who's been up and down and hasn't played in the NHL.
That's
like,
fair.
You know, he has... 150 games the last 2 years.
Does Ottawa count as an NHL team, though?
Well, they're playing NHL opponents.
Zach is right next to you, bro.
That was mainly a Zach.
he's had some tough defensive partners with him. I'll say that to his credit.
Yeah, well, Travis Hamonic, him and that was not a good pair, was it?
No, and that was primarily his partner. Yeah. If you look at the analytics, Hamonic really dragged him down.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about, he had great underlying numbers last year in, what, Colorado did he play, mostly? Colorado signed him in the offseason. But he had strong analytical numbers last year. And it's one of those things where it just depends what you want out of your third pair, right? Like, if you want a guy that's going to, you're going to have to shelter, can maybe help out on your second power play unit, can do some offensive things, then that's cool. Or do you want that third pair guy to be somebody who helps on the PK and you put into defensive zone draws and things of that nature? Like, it completely comes down to how a team wants to deploy that type of a player.
Next one comes from George. Locking up Brock Besser right now. Overrated or underrated?
Overrated, because it's not happening.
Well, okay. So not as in, like, will it happen right now, but as in, should the Canucks pursue the idea of doing it right now? Overrated or underrated?
Trading him?
No. Signing him, sorry. Extending him.
I mean, honestly, if you want to extend Brock, I don't think it's too early to talk. I do think this road trip, though, is something you want to wait and see. And I don't mean that because you want to see how the road trip goes. But this is going to sound a little bit cold. I've mentioned this before, but it's just the reality of the situation. Brock went through the blood clotting issue, right?
Yeah.
So his preparation is going to be different. He's talked about this. And when he's on the road, when he's on a flight, he can't sleep.
Yeah.
Because of, you know, he has to make sure the blood flow is going. He has to do certain things, wear compression pants and get up and move. And he shouldn't sleep on the plane. So that means on road trips, his rest pattern and his recovery patterns are going to be different. How much is that going to affect you? How much are you going to be able to handle those things? I'm sure it's stuff you're going to be able to work out, right? But it's just things you're going to have to overcome and see how he deals with, right? And I think those types of things you have to kind of mark as you have to go through. And that's part of the reason where it's like, yeah, you want to see him perform well. You also want to see how is he overall physically, mentally, and in terms of his game. And I think you have to give it a little bit of time. But if you want to sign Brock Besser, you're probably better off getting a cheap, getting a bargain deal now as opposed to him scoring another 30, 35 goals this year.
This one from Ghost. What the Canucks will get in an Elias Pettersson trade? Overrated or underrated?
Apparently underrated, because not to call out Donnie and Dolly, but they think Elias Pettersson is untradeable right now. So
yeah, I mean, I was listening and actually agreed with Drance for once.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. No, I mean, I
can't believe
about,
like, this has come up in conversation already. I mean, it's like you don't trade away guys that are this good at hockey. No. I mean, I know he's going through a rough patch, but you don't trade away guys like this.
No, and honestly, like, I know people want to, like, and they're not wrong. Like, people point to last 40 games last year.
Yeah.
Last 30 games, the playoffs, yeah, the start now. It's all fair. But I've never been a person that sells a player because of a down year if I believe in them. I believe players in general will go through ups and downs. Players, even star players, superstars, will have good years and bad years. How much do you believe in their talent? How much do you believe in them overcoming those things? But most players, outside of a very select few, are going to have down years from time to time, or like down half seasons. I remember Sidney Crosby had a half a year once where he scored like 7-8 goals or something, whatever it was. Like, there has been stretches for players you kind of wonder, oh, is this it? Mm-hmm. And then they overcome it. So when, if I believe in a high-end player, one 40-game stretch, 50-game stretch, maybe in a bad season, may not completely change my mind about that player. Yeah. That's how I felt about JT Miller.
Yeah.
And hey, we'll see. Maybe JT ages poorly. But I think I was pretty right. We were pretty right on JT over the course of a year when people thought it was a trash signing. How could people even think of keeping him over Bo Horvat? I think that looks a bit different today. So if you believe in a player's talent, I don't believe in punting on it because of 30, 40 bad games or even a bad season. If it stretches beyond that and it becomes undeniable, like, I'm not going to be obtuse. But I'm just not there. And I know people think 30, 40 games is enough to change their minds. And maybe that is for you. But that's how I view it. So if people are waiting for me to all of a sudden be like, this guy is trash 10 games from now, 20 games from now, 30 games from now, I'm not sure that's going to be the case.
I will remind people, Alex Ovechkin, in his age 25 season, had 32 goals in 79 games. Could you imagine the Washington Capitals were like, maybe this guy isn't the goal scorer we thought he was. We should probably trade him. Could you imagine that scenario playing out? Ovi, 32 goals in 79 games. Everybody on the planet was like, wow, what's going on with Alex Ovechkin? Can you believe he only had 32 goals this year?
Yeah.
And guess what? Shows up 38 the next year, 32 and 48 the following year, three straight 50-goal seasons afterwards into his 30s. I mean, the guy is the greatest goal scorer of all time. Would you have traded him because he had a down year at 25 and only scored 32? Like, Pettersson's going through a rough patch. We all see it. But also, you look at his career track record and you say, this is a guy that's about as good a player or as good a point scorer, point producer as there has been in the NHL from age 19 to 24, you're going to trust that track record more than anything else. That's why he got $11.6 million. I don't know why we have to explain this so many times.
Yeah, not everybody listens every day. I get it. I understand.
Like even Matthews, 2 years ago, he only had 40 goals.
Only 40 goals.
People were like, what's wrong with Auston Matthews? And he scores, 60, almost has 70 last year?
I remember his second season, and correct me if I'm wrong, he was under a point per game. People wonder, is Matthews as good as people think he is?
Yeah.
And Nathan MacKinnon, a bit different, but Nathan MacKinnon took, 3, 4, 5 years to become the Nathan MacKinnon you see today.
Yeah.
He was the first overall pick. You know, Pettersson needs to be better. There's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Can we pinpoint what the issue is exactly?
I honestly think it's confidence. Even people talking about the tendonitis in his knee, why don't they just shut him down for a while? He was off the whole summer.
Yeah.
It didn't get better. So what do you want? What do you want to do? You know, not that it didn't get better, but he said when he came into camp that it's still something he's working through. But at the same time, he knows he can play through it, and he knows he can still play at a high level.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, and Daniel and Campbell text in, if Pettersson's down year was 32 goals, that would be the case. So Pettersson, the fewest amount of goals he's had in a full season, was 28-71, his rookie season. He probably gets 30.
Yeah.
Got 28-71. His second season, played 68 games, which was the pandemic year where it stopped. He had 27 goals. Then he had 10-26. He was hurt, which was the, North Division year. Then 32, 39, and 34.
Yeah.
So in regular seasons, aside from his rookie season, he's been over 30.
Yeah. So if he doesn't score 30 this year, sure. But people are pointing to things on Pettersson that are not true or haven't happened. And that's my thing. It's he still had 34 goals last year. If he has 25 goals this year, I'd be panicking too. I'd be like, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
But we're 3 games in. We don't know what it's going to look like by the end of the season.
Yeah. He's... in every season of his career, he has been either at a 1.3, 1.4 goals per 60 every single season of his career, which is a good number for those wondering.
Next one, Chef Swagger, goalie goals, overrated or underrated?
Could they ever be underrated?
No.
Could a goalie goal ever be underrated?
Honestly,
never overrated.
When we saw Allmark score, and that was it was against the Canucks. I know Zach's kind of shaking his head a little bit, but I thought it was one of the coolest moments because I've never seen a goalie goal in the NHL. I've always wanted to see a goalie goal. Hey, it sucks, but I mean, the Canucks season was lost anyways. Who cares? I was excited to see a goalie goal. I think it's really cool if you're in person seeing a goalie score a goal, no matter who the goaltender is.
Archer Shelovs does have the vibe of a guy that would go for a goalie goal. I haven't seen it yet.
I don't think he handles the puck well enough.
No. But I think you gotta to get the goalie goal, it seems like you gotta get a dump in kind of on net.
Yeah.
You catch it, put it down, shoot.
Yeah.
I don't think Shelovs would even mess that up, but who knows?
Always love a goalie goal. By the way, my pick for third in the Central, which you guys chirped quite a bit, looking pretty good. 2-0 and 2 Wild.
Minnesota Wild. So they're just mid. There's no other way to say it. Discount Dracula will end with this one. Weird chip flavors. Overrated or underrated?
Definitely overrated.
Really?
I don't know.
Well, it depends.
I've never had a weird chip flavor that I liked.
Okay, weird chip flavor, sure.
Like poutine?
Poutine?
Who wants a poutine chip flavor?
There were the KFC chips. Those were not very good.
No.
I love a gimmick, though, to be honest.
Really?
Weird chip flavors, weird pop flavors, I'll try them every time.
I don't know. I need my tried and true chip flavors, and if I venture too off from the beaten path, I'm just probably not eating it.
So I will say I'm a really big fan of Miss Vicky's chips. I know you love the originals.
Yes, so good.
They're was herb, onion, and sour cream
that
are really
good.
Like really, really good. It's one of my favorite chips right now.
Mm.
I mean, that's just sour cream and onion.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know, so
that's
it's a normal chip flavor. Okay. Just the name is different.
So white cheddar, is that like
no, that's
New
pretty
York
normal
cheddar?
Too.
Okay, is it okay?
We're talking the specialty ones. Lay's has a lot right now. I think there's I forget what it is, but they have a lot of weird flavors out at the moment.
Montreal smoked meat, weird.
There's a popular one in England, a prawn cocktail. You can find them on any train.
Yeah, there's a lot of those shrimp chips kind of things that are kind of like pork rinds. No, not for me. I'm tried and true, man. Give me regular. Give me lightly salted. Give me sour cream and onion. I'm good with those.
Yeah. Sour cream and onion is good. Barbecue chips.
Jalapeno.
Yeah, jalapeno are good. Yeah, spicy for me.
Like, there might be some Americans listening and be like, you guys got ketchup and all dressed. Those are weird.
I'm not a big fan of all dressed, yeah. I will say.
Ketchup is weird.
Ketchup is okay. Some ketchup chips I'm okay with if I'm in the mood.
I feel like I grew out of the ketchup chip phase when I was 9 years old.
Honey mustard and Dijon one.
Really?
Is that the kettle one? Yeah, it's a kettle one.
Yeah, yeah.
That one's real good. I don't know if that's weird, though.
I don't know.
I think Hard Bite has like a garlic and paprika one.
Really?
I like that quite a bit.
Well, they have one like yogurt and onion one. It's pretty good.
I don't know if garlic and paprika is a weird chip flavor. But I like Hard Bite, so.
Now this one here, so we got this text sent in with a photo from Jeff in Coquitlam. It's IHOP Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity Pancake Chips for Lays.
Yeah, wow. Like I would 100% try that.
I don't know, man, I'm good. Strawberry-topped pancakes with syrup and bacon.
Not?
Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity Strawberry Top Pancakes with Syrup and Bacon. Hard pass.
It kind of sounds
awful.
Good.
That sounds horrific. I mean, I don't know if Jeff actually tried them. I think he took a photo because they found them in Phoenix on a golf trip. Did you try them, Jeff?
No.
Are they any good?
Don't do that. There's literally no reason to try those. Oreo Coca-Cola was also sent in by Jeff.
We had those in the... we had the opposite, the reverse.
We had the cookies, not the drink.
I had the drink.
You had the drink? Was the drink any good?
It was very not good.
Very not good. The cookies were very strange because they had the...
The Pop Rocks.
The Pop Rocks.
They were okay, though. I will say those were better significantly than the drink.
Dan says he likes the tried and true chips. Then he says lightly salted. Yeah, it's a great chip. It's a great chip. All right, Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. It is Canuck Central. We'll get to some overrated, underrated overflow and close out the show next on Sportsnet 650.
Hitting the most important topics for Vancouver sports fans. The People's Show with Vic Nizar. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.